Sabbath again, everyone. Our scripture reading is from Philippians 4, verse 4. I'll read in your hearing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen.
Okay. Happy Sabbath, everyone. How's everyone doing today? Good? A little cooler, right? But it's still a good day as God is definitely on his day, is connecting, right, with each and one of us through song, through prayer. You know, as we started September 1st, our 40 days of prayer through our basically our conference, vertical, praying for God's vision. It's kind of put me in a situation where I have to make sure that I keep in mind, right, God's vision in my mind, in my heart. Starting today after potluck, for those that remain for potluck, everyone's invited. I would like to start with our church praying for our vision, not only for our conference and their vision, but Brewster's vision. We have a lot to pray for. We have a church, right? Definitely to pray for. We have our school to pray for, right? And we also have our community to pray for. And how God wants every single part to really work together to spread the gospel. And so, hence, today's sermon is titled, God Makes a Way, So Just Pray. Let's say that one. God makes a way, so just pray. Amen. Let us bow our heads so that we can dive into the word today. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much once more. Because, wow, you are an amazing, amazing Father. Thank you for loving us unconditionally. We so mess up so many times. But you, no matter what, always make a way. At this moment, we want your word to make a way into our hearts and mind. So we pray, Father, that as we dive into your word, that your Holy Spirit can speak and convict us. Transform us and bring us closer to you so that we can spread this gospel news to everyone. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to welcome everyone here today. I know that we have visitors. Pastor does not have his contacts or his glasses. They broke. So I can't see any of you, but I'm preaching by faith. So if you fall asleep, sorry. Okay? All right. So, and now I'm going to stand here. Usually I don't stand here. I move, but I'm going to stand here because I can only see here. So God makes a way, so just pray. You know, as we go into this time of praying for our vision, and it just had me thinking a lot of things, especially this week. I had a visitation that I did. I don't know if you recall Karen, who came up one time when I wanted her and Nick. And they came up and we prayed for her, this lady that I've been helping. We've been helping, actually, because whatever I do, it's also a reflection on our church. And we've been helping her with the situation. She had her daughter's boyfriend ended up with cancer. And he's a very young man. He had bone cancer. And he has bone cancer. And he was in treatment and all that. And unfortunately, I found out coming back from my travels, I found out the other day that they amputated his leg. You know, he's only like maybe 20 years old or so. This is a young man that I played basketball with when we opened up the gym at our school. And so when I heard that, it really broke my heart, because I remember seeing him on video on the day of graduation there in Brewster. And I said, hey, I'm going to connect with you. Stay strong. You know, he was in the hospital at that moment. And then I've come to find out that that happened to him. Broke my heart. So she wanted me to come by and encourage him, pray with the family. I guess they were going through a situation. So I stopped what I was doing and I headed over there. And he didn't want to see me. He covered his head with his blanket. And I said, it's okay. You know, I just want to come here and just pray with you. And you can stay underneath your blanket if you want. That's okay. But soon enough, he actually took off the blanket and shook my hand. He had a very strong handshake and looked into my eyes. But I can see the brokenness in his eyes. I don't remember what I said. But what I do remember is that as I was praying, I think the visitation was more for me than for him. There is a world out there that needs hope. There's a world out there that needs to have courage, needs to have Jesus. And so, you know, I prayed with him and I said what I said and I left, but I left broken too. You know, that could be my son. And so I don't question God. I don't question God in things either, because I know that he has a purpose. He has a greater purpose. And I believe that when Paul was speaking to his people, to his church here in Philippians, he also understood pain. He also understood the hurt. He understood the difficult moments as he was writing this in jail. How do some of us approach prayer? How do some of us come to that moment in which we connect, we attempt to connect with God? Is it in your vehicle by the time you get dressed and you rush to your vehicle because you're 10, 5 minutes late, whatever it is, that you say, Lord, please, as I head out, and you're pulling out, and you're like, Lord, please, as I head out, just be with me. You know, is that how sometimes you may approach prayer? I know I have approached prayer that way sometimes. Could it be the moment in which you find yourself alone and you just want to have that peace, and you find yourself just holding on to your Bible? You don't read it, but you hold on to your Bible because it is God's word, and you find yourself at that particular moment just saying, Lord, where are you? Where are you in my storm? Where are you in this world? I don't see you, but I have this word. I have this memory of the good times, of the times that you allowed me to experience your love. You allowed me to have these happy moments, these moments that really filled the emptiness in my heart. And so do you find yourself praying that type of prayer, or when you pray where you're just asking God a bunch of questions of where, how, and when, could have, should have, would have? I think I've been there as well. I've seen myself many times in that situation too. And this one I could definitely identify with. When I find myself not seeking God for a while and trying to do my own thing, and then I find myself in a situation because of my own doing in a hole. In a hole, and I'm in so desperate. I am so desperate that all I could do is pull aside in the middle of nowhere. It could be in your home. It could be wherever it is. And just look down and just pray the prayer of despair. God, I messed up. I find myself struggling and I can't get out of this hole. I can't get out of this cup in which I'm drowning in. I can't get out of this momentum of keep doing the same thing over and over again, and it keeps giving me the same result, and it is not a good result. It is eating up my flesh. It is eating up my bones. I'm in desperate need of your mercy and your grace. I'm in need of a Savior. Come and save me. And so we find ourselves kneeling down, maybe thrown in our beds, crying with tears. I don't know, but I know that I've gone through that situation as well, that type of prayer where I'm just breathing because I feel that that's the only thing I could do in life at that moment and nothing else. And so I don't know if you found yourself, if that's how you pray as well, waiting for that moment in which everything is, you can't do anything and only surrender to God. The beautiful thing is that whichever moment that we find ourselves in, I believe that Paul really speaks to our hearts. Because when we have the prayer in which we are searching for answers and we open up his word, when we open up the word of God and he speaks to us through these words that sometimes we may not understand when we first have read it, but then we read it again and we read it again, and then we could claim these promises. We can claim what he has promised us and fulfilled in us in the past. And now we're seeing it here in these letters of Paul or of the old, of those that wrote these inspired words. We can see clearly that no matter what situation we are in, we can find ourselves with Philippians 4:4, which says, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Always rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say rejoice. And so this is Paul who is writing this letter, right? And he's saying in his situation, under his circumstance, my friend, of being locked up. I don't know if you've ever been locked up. It is not a good thing being alone in a cell. Some of us say, well, yeah, I've been locked up. My mom's punished me and I have only can be in my room. I'm grounded. Yeah, we've been locked up in different ways in life. It doesn't have to be in a jail cell, but we've been locked up some way, somehow. Either Satan has the key and he's got us there locked up. Life sometimes gets us locked up. But even when those situations happen, Paul says, listen to me, I'm telling you from experience, rejoice in the Lord, always. Again, I will say rejoice. He goes on to say, let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. I want to step back for a second because in Philippians 4, he is actually speaking to a situation in particular, in which two individuals, women of faith, were experiencing some contradiction, some clashing going on. And in having that moment of not being able to get along, he's saying, listen, you guys need to quit it. You need to realize that you have something much more powerful than what your idea and her idea is. And that is that Jesus is here. He is at hand. And we have to represent who we say we believe in. And so he says here, let your gentleness be known to all men. That even when you're going through your situation and your circumstance, even though you're having difficulty getting along, even though you may not be on the same page sometimes because of whatever situation, whatever it is that is going on, remember to always be gentle. Remember to always represent Jesus. Remember to represent the great example, the one who, if anything, could have been mad when they were putting the nails through his hands, the one that they spat at in his face, the one that they continued to disregard, the one that was pushed away, the one that was shunned by his own people. Remember him? How gentle he was as he went on the cross. And he also speaks of himself as saying, listen, I've also gone through that. And we have to be gentle. We have to show the love that God has shown to us through Jesus Christ. And another thing I loved about Paul is that he also believed that Jesus was knocking on a door. He believed that Jesus was coming soon. And if he believed that Jesus was coming soon then, what do you think about now, years later? And so, does it mean that now we change our attitude and we're not gentle anymore? We don't treat each other with kindness and love? My friends, it is the Lord is at hand, and we have to recognize that we have no time for these pettiness, for the differences that we want to acquire, the things that separate us. We need to be united in prayer. In prayer. Because the Lord is at hand. And so I love it because he says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. What are you telling me? In other words, in the original translation, it's be careful of nothing. Be careful of nothing. And I'm like, what do you mean, Lord? What do you mean be careful of nothing? I'm supposed to care about whether or not my son is able to go to the school and have clothing and have food, which is way expensive. I went over my budget. These kids. And so I have to care about that. I have to care on how I'm going to pay the bills and this and that, and to make sure that my wife gets her hair done, even though she hasn't gotten done in a while. I'm sorry, baby. I'll get to you too. But the reality is that we care for these things that in reality, Paul is saying, mean nothing. That we should not care about those things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. You see, sometimes we care about these things. And so this is not new to Paul. Paul had a situation too where he understood that the church, being where it was, they also were being persecuted for who they believed in, for believing in this one God, for believing in Jesus. And so they may not have had the jobs that they needed. They may not have had the clothes that they needed to wear to fit into society. They may not have had a lot of things that we tend as humans to care on them, the material stuff, even as Christians. And so we're constantly worried. Oh, I need my retirement, my 401k. I feel bad for those that are, you know, like depending on that. You know, I feel bad for myself because I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to have a 401k by the way the stock market is going. You know, and so why should I care? He's saying, don't care for those things. What we should be caring about is praying for one another. What we should be caring about is praying constantly, continuously, having a relationship with God, supplicating against him, making sure that we are in complete surrender to God. That's why he's saying supplication, prayer and supplication. There's a connection there that needs to be had. What happens is we care about those things and then we forget, as we attain here and attain there, we forget to pray. And to have joy and to be rejoiceful and to be able to say hallelujah. We tend to forget. We are creatures of habit. And a lot of that habit has to do with forgetting. Here he says with thanksgiving. And the word thanksgiving here is recognizing that who gave to you and to me. Recognizing that the one who gave and gives and takes away is the one that is in control. And always has been in control, whether we want to accept it or not. And so I cannot forget so quickly when I get anxious, I cannot forget so quickly what God has done for me for a long period of time. I don't know if you understand that, but if God has allowed me to wake up every single day to live a life where I come back home safely and I'm able to sleep in the same bed for 20 years without anything happening to me, amen to that? Don't we have much to be thankful for? You know how many people don't wake up from their beds? You know how many people don't have that same opportunity? They're waking up to bombs being dropped on over their roof or over their head. They have to constantly be running away because of their belief in Jesus Christ. And so we have to be thankful. Even those individuals are thankful. How much more us that live in a country that we can still practice what we believe in, or at least have the opportunity to practice what we believe in. But what I love here is that he finishes with, let your requests be known to God. If that is something that you're wanting or needing, for example, last week I think I left a video and I requested for help to help our friends in Colombia, whose church I've preached in and was able to, by the grace of God, had baptisms come out of my first sermons before I even became a pastor. It was an awesome experience. And they welcomed me and everything. I even preached in Spanish. At that time, I didn't even know Spanish. Barbara can tell you that. And they wanted me to preach in Spanish, and I guess I was interesting enough to preach in Spanglish. And 30 people were ready for baptism. They only allowed like 10 or 15 because there was another preacher coming after me, and they didn't want to embarrass him with no baptisms. But this was a church that has already provided about five sister churches. And the enemy knows that. And their roof had caved in with all the water that's been happening. They probably had the same roof for over 20 years of metal and all that. And finally their roof gave out and it messed up all their equipment and everything like that. And so the young man called me and says, Pastor, I don't know who else to turn to. Money over here is really difficult. No jobs, no everything. You know, we can't turn around. In the conference, there's no insurance on our building. And the conference is not giving much to help us with the repairs. Is there anything you can do? And so I said, yeah, I'll send something. And he goes, yeah, but I was asking if any of your churches can help. And so I can't see your faces, so this is very easy for me to say. If there's anything that you can help with, my friends, it's only $1,600. Please reach out to me. And I have to send that money this Monday or Tuesday because they're already starting some repairs with a little bit of the conference again. But they're depending on credit. You know, they borrowed, the material, and they're going to have to pay this back to the people that they borrowed it from, kind of like credit. And so please, if there's anything that you can do to help, I'll greatly appreciate it. But he reached out because he believes in a God that if you request, you shall receive. And so he says here, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God doesn't care how big, how small your request is. He's a God that cares for every little detail of your life, every little detail. And sometimes it may not seem, you're like, why did this happen to me? Why am I sick? Why am I going through this struggle? Why am I going through this? And so even those requests of the whys, he wants for us to let him know, to be known to God. And then he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, this peace of God that he speaks of, Paul here, Paul really understands the peace of God to a certain extent. He wouldn't say if he didn't understand it. Given that he's locked up, he doesn't know when he's coming out. Given that he's been, stoned, he's been beaten, he's been everything in the world, he still has peace? You call that peace? Yes, my friend, in the chaos, we can still have peace in God. Because, see, when we don't understand something, when knowledge, when science can't give us the answers that we want, we have peace in God that he's in control and he knows what's best for us. Hence, that's why we pray. It says here that he will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Our hearts, a lot of times, I'm just telling you, our hearts a lot of times is deceiving. The heart is very deceiving. And then it starts to speak to the mind and say, you're not worthy. You're going to come to God now? You're going to pray now? What kind of Christian are you? You're going to look for God when you haven't been looking for him for, I don't know, a couple weeks, a couple days? Now you're looking for God? You're not worthy. You really? You're going to look for God now? And our mind starts playing with that. And then the enemy will send somebody. And your faith will dwindle. You know, you start doubting. Maybe God doesn't want to hear me. Maybe I'm just a hypocrite. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve God's grace and mercy. I don't. And we don't. Sometimes, you know, honestly, we don't. But he loves us so much, unconditionally, that he wants to give it to us. He gifts us that. And instead of taking that for what it is, as a gift, because there's nothing else, there's no other way that we can pay it back, instead of taking it as a gift, we push it away because we feel unworthy. We feel like, yeah, like this emoji, like we're just so anxious and so worried, and our God, he's not going to listen to us, because I was the one that put myself in this predicament. I'm the one that put myself in this hole. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 33, he says, and he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, do not be what? Anxious about life, about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. He tells us that. This is Jesus' own word. Don't be anxious about that stuff. See, we get anxious about the things that we see. We see all these things happening around us. I was speaking in Chelan, and a gentleman said, well, Pastor, how does your message of transformation, which you guys will get next Sabbath, the next Sabbath I'm here, how does your message of transformation reach out to the LGBTQ, Z, and all the letters community? And I said to him, the message is for everyone. It doesn't matter what background, what gender, whatever it is that you want to classify yourself, whatever wokeness. I said, it doesn't matter. The God's message transcends for everyone. And the transformation is on God's part. It's not me wanting the transformation. You know, yes, I love to see people be transformed by the Holy Spirit and by God's word. Amen to that. But it's not dependent on me as a pastor to make sure that people are transformed. That is on God and the Holy Spirit. That's it. And Jesus, who already did what he had to do. The word is enough. The word is enough. The promises are enough to transform. All they have to do is believe. And if it is that they stay transgender until Jesus comes, then they stay transgender as Jesus comes. If it is that they stay, whatever, I can't, that's for Jesus to handle. That's for God to handle, not for me. But if the transformation happens today, in which they are liberated and they feel the freedom, they can come to God whichever way, then amen to that. Amen to that as well. But I can't worry about that. That is not my anxiety shouldn't be that. Whether this person is transformed or not. My reason for believing and for continuing my faith is to continue to spread the gospel to the world. The gospel that changed my heart. That each day I have to die self and let Jesus live in me. And then that transformation that others can see will speak for itself. And then when I come with words of encouragement, with hope, with the gospel truth, then and only then they have a choice whether to accept it or not. And it says, and his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, because this life is temporary right here. This life is temporary. We're here one day, we could be gone the next. And so I can't worry about that. I have to worry about this moment right now, whether I am allowing my prayer life to connect me to God in a way where I can help others, and in a way where I can inspire others, in a way where I can provide a sense of hope to a community, to my church, to my family, to my friends. No matter the hurt, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what pain I'm going through, that they can see the peace of God in me in midst of chaos in this world. I believe Luke 11:13 depicts it so well. If yea, then, if you, Omar, being so evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children or child, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask for him? How much more? As I start these 40 days of prayer, as we start these 40 days of prayer, we need discernment. We need the Holy Spirit to really be upon us as a church. As these trying times, as people are suffering around the world, as we're suffering ourselves, as we're going through predicaments and troubles, and things are coming, I mean, from all angles. If we need anything much, I mean, so much right now desperately is the Holy Spirit. Because we still have him here for us. He's our great counselor. He's the one who's going to give us the yes and the no's in a world where good is bad and bad is good. He's the one who's going to lead us. He's the one who's going to speak to our minds and hearts and give us the peace and understanding if need be. The understanding that God is in control, and there's nothing that I can do. And so I cannot worry about those things. At the end, my friend, God is calling his people to pray. To pray for patience. To pray for courage. To pray that every day I put on this armor. To pray that no matter what happens, no matter what changes come, I continue to trust in him who has been there for me from day one. And that's, for some of us, is going to be very hard because we don't have a prayer life. But it's not too late. You know, we have 365 days a year, and like I always say, every day we have a chance to be 1% better than yesterday. And we have about 120 days left or so of the year. That's still 100% better than you could be today, or at least by the end of the year, than you probably wouldn't do. So the same thing goes with prayer. You can be 100% better in prayer starting today, by the end of the year, if you just start praying today. It doesn't matter how you want to pray or how you pray. As I illustrated, it could be in your car. It just start the process. One thing I love about God is that he's a God of process. And all he wants to see is you take the initiative. He's not going to do it for you. But once you take that initiative, see how that takes off. See how your life is transformed. See how everything else matters. Everything else, it starts to make sense. And that's why you start having the peace of God, because now God is relevant in your life and in my life. That's the only way, through prayer and supplication, and always remembering to thank him who gives you everything, who gives you life, who gives you the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. How many of us want to start that prayer life and become prayer warriors in our church? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for giving us the opportunity to be able to come to your house of worship to be able to listen and worship together, have fellowship, but also to come and pray. Father, we come to you as dirty rags. There's nothing good in us. We come to you desperate. We come to you in pain and trying to understand and figuring things out. But at the end of the day, we just don't see sometimes the light. Sometimes we don't see the way that you see things. And that may startle us. That may put fear in our hearts for whatever reason, for listening to our own minds and hearts. And so I just pray, Father, that we find a way, that we find a way to have this prayer life with you. As you make the ways for us to continually to live continuously here on this earth for a purpose and a reason, Father, may we trust in you and always pray, no matter what. May we find time for prayer. May we dive into your word and pray your promises. May those promises, Father, become real in our lives so that we can live them no matter what happens. We can know that one day all this will come to an end and we will be new creatures in you, in heaven. We will be new in everything, in heaven and on earth. Father, we can't wait for that day, but allow us to be prepared to receive you. And help us to prepare others as well to understand and to know that, to understand and allow them to see how much you love them. Oh, Father, help us. Bless this church here in Brewster. You have a purpose for it. May that vision be fulfilled, not next year, starting today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Please stand for the closing hymn, hymn number 516, All the Way.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace devises comfort, here in faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me faith for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Through my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When I wake to life immortal, wing my flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can depend on you to lead us all the way. And we just claim that promise. We claim Philippians 4 today, Lord. Please go with us as we spend this next week with you and the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.